Okay, I'm looking tonight in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Reverse, let me say it's been a real blessing to my heart to be here, and I appreciate Brother Jones giving us the invitation to come and be in this meeting, be a part of the services, and appreciate every preacher. I think the preaching's really helped us, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a real blessing to get in on a meeting like this. A lot of places, even in this nation, where you couldn't get in on a meeting like this. And there's probably been people here this week, or maybe people here tonight, that's not used to this kind of services. You know, most churches don't have this kind of services. Not a strict Bible church. Where they're saying in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. A lot of churches never go to the altar, never have a prayer season or anything. Just go through a quick form. A lot of them even up our way, and we really live in the country, 45 minutes and they're out. And I don't believe in dragging, but you know, some people, they're more out than they are in. And they don't come to get in. But it's been a real blessing to my heart to be here, and I appreciate you being here. Appreciate Brother Jones and his faithfulness to the Lord. These, of course, as we've heard this week, the last day, the last of the last days. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. So you just need to anchor down, know that the Lord's doing everything right. It'll finally turn out right. We don't know what's between here and there, but one old fellow used to tell me years ago, he's got on now, said, I don't dread the crossing, I dread what's between here and there. And sometimes it might get rough sailing between here and there, but we'll wind up okay if we're saved. Okay, we're looking in John chapter 8 and verse 24. The Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 24. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You may be seated. I'm trying to zero in on this last part of this verse. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And many people believe in the Lord historically. They do believe that Jesus was virgin born. And many of them even believe in a sinless life. They live the sinless life. And some of them believe historically in the death of Christ at the cross. And they might even believe in the resurrection, historically, mentally, intellectually. They believe the facts, is what I'm trying to say. And many people say, I've asked people, and I'm sure these other preachers have, are you saved? They say, well, I believe in God. And we have actually lived to see a time now when so-called political conservatives will say, in fact, I heard one say just a few hours ago that we're all the children of God. Hate to see the children of God being killed on the streets and things like they are now. So you'd be surprised at the people, church people, that believe in what's known as the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. They believe everybody's okay. They believe everybody's children of God. I heard a man preach that not long ago, a Baptist preacher at a funeral. This fellow died, and I knew him. He'd lived in sin all of his life, drinking whiskey and selling drugs and just doing every wicked thing. And the preacher got up and preached that everybody's children of God. That God didn't call this fellow to live a Christian life, and God didn't call that fellow to go to church. And so you'd be surprised what's going on in Baptist churches. So the Lord said here to these religious folks, now these people are religious he's talking to, and he said, if you believe not that I am he, of course, Exodus chapter 3, when Moses is talking to the Lord, said, who will I tell them sent me when the Lord wanted to go to Egypt? He said, tell them I am that I am, the eternal one, except you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal one. You know, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. What do you believe about him? Do you believe he's the living bread? Do you believe he's the resurrection and the life? Do you believe he's the light of the world? He said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that was dead and am alive. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Have the keys of hell and death. You know, some folks, their faith is vain. They believe. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, they're declaring the gospel, how Christ died for sin according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He said, you're saved with this and everything, unless you believed in vain. So some people believe, but their faith is vain. James chapter 2 actually says, so then faith without works is dead, being alone. Thou sayest that believest there's one God. He said, the devils also believe and tremble. So the devils believe in one God. Devils. Devils believe. They're believing, actually believe historically about God. And many people believe in that manner. But Jesus said, you accept, you believe. Verse 24. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He's the Savior. He's Lord of all, to the glory of God. He's the Redeemer. He's the one who reconciled us to God. Except you believe, I am he said. You have no forgiveness if you don't believe savingly in Christ. Now, I'm going kind of slow here because for the last at least 50 years, and maybe longer than that, generally speaking, this entire generation now, and that is a general statement, that's not a specific statement, there are still some churches that believe in salvation the biblical way. But they're in the minority. Most people believe that if you believe in Christ historically and believe the scriptural facts about the Savior, they think you're saved. And they lead people to that decision of being saved by believing historical facts. They bypass. One fellow told me, he said, you know, said the word repentance is not in the book of John. I said, well, Christ being called the Son of Man is not in the book of John. But just because it's not in the book of John don't make it not so. See, we have the entire Bible. And everything ain't just packed into one book or one chapter. It's an entire Bible. Overall, the Bible teaches repentance. Overall, the Bible teaches faith, saving faith. It also teaches about superficial faith, vain faith, void faith. You know, faith is not real. Now, I've heard people even give invitations, preachers. They'll take after they finish preaching, they take the key out of the car and say, faith is you believe in the car starts. You go out there and you believe that car starts, that's why you go to it. Well, the infidel has that kind of faith. Everybody around has that kind of faith. That's not saving faith. See, saving faith lays hold on Jesus Christ to never turn loose. That's called evangelical faith, saving faith, joined you to Jesus Christ. But the sinner don't have any faith on his own, see. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now I think that's the uttered word. Not every time you hear the preacher, you might not get faith. Some people come and hear the preacher and go away. But if God speaks that word to your heart, and the reason I think that has to be so, that's the way they got faith before the Bible was written. Yeah. See, God spoke to them. The Bible don't say anything about Enoch's faith until Methuselah was born. And at the birth of Methuselah, God spoke to Enoch, spoke faith to his heart. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Afterward, don't say anything about his past life. See, when you start a new life in Christ, your past life is totally forgiven. That's when the Lord don't give any part of Enoch's past life. When you get saved, all the past is washed away as far as God's concerned. And so, without believing in Christ, savingly, you have no forgiveness. Forgiveness is wrought by grace through faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, God's the God of all grace, and grace provides the blood, and faith applies the blood. So that's why the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not to everyone, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. So the gospel is God's good news of what Christ has done for fallen sinners that could not help themselves. So now when God speaks that faith to your heart, it's your responsibility to exercise that faith. See, the reconciling works has already been done. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The reason God hadn't already judged the world with all the drugs and the dope and all the adultery and fornication, lasciviousness, and every wicked thing, sodomy and everything you can think. The reason God hadn't already judged them is because the world's been reconciled to God by the death of his son.
Yeah.
So now that reconciling work holds the judgment of God off of a sin-loving world. God can have mercy because Jesus Christ upon the cross satisfied God completely. So the reconciling work's been already done and finished. But it won't do you any good unless it's appropriated by faith. Say, you got to come to where that reconciling work was accomplished. And that's at the cross. And it's been well preached here. You go to the cross, there where Christ died, and God kills you with Christ. That's known in the Bible as repentance. Repentance is you dying out. Giving up. Amen. Taking your place at the cross. Where you should have died. Where the reconciling work was accomplished. You can't exercise saving faith till you exercise heartfelt repentance. Repentance turns you from sin. Faith brings you to the Savior. Repentance brings you out. Faith brings you in. We're justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God. Except you believe that Jesus Christ is the reconciler, you have no peace. You have no forgiveness. Your sin's still upon you. When you find out from God, through the preaching of his word, that your sin was laid upon Christ, and Christ died completely, submitted himself to God, and offered redemption, and died for you, and you appropriate that to your heart by faith, you'll get saved. That's how you get saved, by grace through faith. Not just by grace. Though faith is a grace, faith must be exercised. And when we say come to Christ, someone says, why, you have a place to pray up front. Well, that's a place you'd acknowledge publicly that you need a personal Savior. There's no more virtue here than it would be back there. But you acknowledge publicly that you need help from God. That's why these Christians came a while ago. They was acknowledging before God and man that we're expecting and we're not believing fully, and we've been doubting God and not taking a place and waiting on God, so we acknowledge publicly we need that. It's not that you have to walk down the front unless you refuse to. If you refuse to, then you got to go down there. I know that experimental because I refused to go and I didn't get saved until I did go. God's going to break the last after it better than you before he saves you. You're not going to be a Christian being rebellious against God. The sacrifice of God's broken heart and the contrite spirit. You're never going to feel right. You may go to church. You may have church energy. And you may even be faithful to church. You're never going to have any peace with God, any joy, forgiveness, sins gone, until you go to that cross and that reconciling work is appropriated to you by faith, and you stand by faith in this grace, justified and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And it's more than intellectual belief. It's a heart belief with the heart. The heart, who you are inside. Not the organ that pumps the blood. The heart is who you are. With the heart, man believes and rises, and with mouth confession made unto salvation. So you must believe. You must believe. Jesus said, he that believeth not condemned. Are you condemned? He that believeth not is condemned already. That's what he's saying here. Unless you believe I am he. For if you believe not in me, you shall die in your sins. You know, one of the worst things I can think about is dying in your sins. Dying in your sins. When your sins actually been paid for. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. That don't mean that your sins are personally forgiven, but that means Christ paid the price for the first Adam's sin, and God's not looking for anything else. The redemption price has already been paid, but it must be appropriated to you by faith. So you better pray God give you some saving faith. That's why the Bible said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Stop arguing with God. Sometimes tell God you're saved when way down in your heart you know you're not saved. I've had people that come up to me after a meeting and they said, well, Brother Mitchell, I really don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, I always tell them, I can ask that not. If you don't know that you're saved, you're not saved. You might not know much about it. You might not know any technicalities about the doctrines of salvation, but you know in your heart, the Holy Spirit will say in your heart that you are saved. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be taught by somebody else that you're saved. The anointing you receive abides with you, and you have no need that any man teach you. That don't mean you don't need to be taught doctrine. That don't mean you need to be taught the doctrine of sanctification and separation, but you don't have anybody to teach you that you're saved. You yourselves are taught of God. In fact, the Bible said, and the Bible's right, you know, in John 6, 44 and 5, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father shall send me drum, and I will raise him up the last day. As it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. That's before you even get saved. He therefore heard and learned of the Father. You've got to learn something from God before you get saved. And what you learn when God turns the light on, you learn that you're a sinner, a lost, hell-deserving, undone sinner in need of a Savior. God must teach you that. Then God teaches you, by the grace of God, teaches you that Christ came down here as the last Adam and went to the cross and paid off your sin debt in full. You find that out from God. You may find out through the preaching of the Word of God, but God must let you know that. Then you come to God, you don't know how to pray. Nowadays they say, well, pray this prayer and you're saved. You're not saved by some kind of prayer you would pray. It's heart language God's listening to. I prayed audibly. I didn't know how to pray. I just cried, God, have mercy on me. I'm a poor lost sinner. Please have mercy on me. I don't want to die lost in my sins. But really, my heart was saying a whole lot more than that. I was crying out to God. And God, for Christ's sake, have mercy upon me. So that works appropriately. The work's already been accomplished, if you can see that, if God lets you see that. But God must teach you that. Christ died for you. You don't believe when you get saved. It's not a general fact that Christ died for everybody. That is true. That's a general truth. But when you need a personal Savior, you find out He died for you. Paul said Christ loved me and gave himself for me. That's a personal transaction. In Hebrews chapter 6 and the last two or three verses there, that by two immutable things, which is impossible for God's alive, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have has been anchored the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endeth within the veil, where the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus, made high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, you lay hold on that hope set before you. The only hope you have is Christ, it's set before you in the gospel. You lay hold. The Bible said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. The word believeth there means that you take hold of to never turn loose.
Yeah.
It's not that you come forward, make a decision, and go through the Baptist motions and mechanics, and keep on living in sin, or even going back into sin. Gets quiet when I talk like that. You know, and I know we picked up a lot of words along the way. I don't fuss on people picking up a lot of words, and because we hard for us to stay away from that. But you know, a lot of people in New Testament times, they say, well, I got away from the Lord. And I know what they mean. I mean, they cut off fellowship. But you can't get away from somebody who won't leave you. If he's on the inside of you, you can't get away from him. You can get cold and indifferent. Fellowship can be cold. You can be miserable as a Christian, but you haven't gone anywhere. You're joined to Him. That is right. Somebody said, I went back on the Lord. No, you just felt like you went back on the Lord. Your feelings based on how you do. Feelings never connected with salvation in the New Testament, though there's a feeling in regeneration, but don't get that mixed up. Feeling is evidence of salvation, not the cause. You can feel condemnation. You can feel guilty. Any of you feel guilty in your night? See, the sad part about our day is people can live in sin, be rebellious against God, and not feel bad about it. Some get even past feeling. Ephesians 4:18. They don't feel bad. Abortion don't make them feel bad. They don't feel bad about any kind of sin. Now, brother, if you're not bothered, you better be bothered. If you don't believe Jesus Christ, believe not in Him. If you're an unbeliever, you don't have any fellowship. You can't have any fellowship with God or the saints of God. You know why a lot of people don't get anything out of the service? They're not one of the family. They can't help it. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? Concord. Not with darkness. You can be in the group here, be sitting here with us, and yet you can be a stranger to us. You ever been in a place where you felt like he's a stranger and felt like he's, you know, well, that's the way you feel now if you're not saved.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to feel that way because you haven't been born again. You haven't been forgiven. You haven't been washed in the blood. You don't believe that he's really the Savior of men.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you come to believe that savingly, I mean, you'll be a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It disturbs me. You know, I've got family members. They believe historically. Of course, they'd cuss you out, just fool with them. But they think they're saved. You know, they think they are. Somebody stole them. They joined the church, you know. They've been baptized. Some have been church members for years. And so they think they're okay. They think that's all there are to it. Just historical belief. That's why I'm interested in this. You don't believe in Christ. If you believe not in me, you shall die in your sins. And these were religious people. They didn't believe he was the light. He just had told them, he's the light of the world. He's a false me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if he's the light of the world and you're in blood, you're not walking in darkness, you're walking in light. Christians sometimes can get in darkness and Christians can get all fouled up. I understand that. But Christ, you believe he's the light, don't you? Do you believe he's the light? You believe he's the resurrection of life? Believe he's the Savior of sinners? Have you ever laid hold on him as your Lord and Savior? Throw down the weapon of your rebellion and submitted to his authority and become his child in the new birth by faith in Jesus Christ? That's the way you get saved. That's the way you get saved. You couldn't put a time clock on it. I've seen people saved in their seat. Before they ever come forward, God's listening to you. It's an individual affair between you and Him. A lot of people does their praying before they ever get here. Get under conviction of them. And some people, it takes a long time. I've been up with them 3 o'clock in the morning. Ever how long it takes for you to get saved, you need to know that you're saved.
Yeah.
You don't need to take no for an answer. You don't have to take no for an answer. Christ died for sinners.
Yeah.
You need to know. You need to know that your faith is the right kind of faith. That's why the Bible says, examine yourself, see if you're in the faith.
Amen.
Have you ever took a day or two off to examine yourself, see if you're in the faith?
Amen.
Prove your own selves. That's 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm supposed to prove to myself that my faith is the kind of faith the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to prove to myself that I am a child of God. And I can scripturally approve to myself, prove yourself. No one looks at Christ Jesus in you, except you be reprobates, rejects. So you don't want to fool around and become a reject. You know, a lot of people get in a condition where they can't get saved. Now, if I say that a lot of places, they close up on me and never let me preach again. The last day is going to end in total apostasy and reprobation. They become, as Jeremiah said in chapter 6 of the last verse, the reprobate silver, like rejected of God for salvation. That's what the word reprobate means about salvation. There are some people reprobate concerning the faith. Read it there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As in these and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. They don't know nothing about saving faith. They think they do. Some of them preach it, but they're rejects to saving faith. That's what there was down in Egypt. Reprobate concerning the faith. They preach faith, but it's the wrong kind of faith. Got everybody here preaches faith. Now I'm not just throwing off on preachers, but I'm saying it's a terrible day of deception. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. They're trafficking in souls. The many people in the world is not drug dealers and alcoholics. The many people in the world is preachers preaching lies.
Amen.
Especially about salvation.
Amen.
See, the devil don't care where else you miss it, just as long as you miss it on salvation. And listen, I'm about to say something. False prophets are some of the best preachers in the world. The only place they miss it is the end of their conversation. That's why God said to Paul, consider the end of their conversation. God should give the understanding in all things. So it don't matter much about how a fellow preaches. What does he say about soul salvation at the end of his sermon? Thought of him preach a good message? Oh yeah, straight right down the line. And then when they get to the end, right there, where salvation is to be appropriated and preached right there, then they go off and start on this new kind of easy believism stuff. You know what that says? That says they've been trained intellectually to preach a good message and they themselves miss salvation. They deceive everybody they touch. Christ called them through Paul evil men of seducers. Evil men seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They'll deceive themselves, they deceive everybody they touch. And you can tell by the converts, actually, that's what it said in Matthew chapter 7, where he said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many be which go in there. The word many there means the vast majority. Why? Because straight to getting that way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And the very next verse, he said, beware of false prophets. In other words, false prophets hang around the gates. They make the straight way crooked. Straight gate to make the narrow way broad. All this, it's not that hard. Not that hard. Just come up here and we'll lead you through that. I heard one preacher say, one of the smartest preachers, I guess, in the world intellectually, and he said, if you couldn't lead a soul to Christ in 2 minutes, something wrong with you. That's his kind of salvation. Now I can tell them what the Bible said, and you other folks can tell them what the Bible said, but we can't put it in the heart. We can tell them what the Bible says about salvation. But you've got to believe in the living Lord. That makes the Word of God real to your heart when you believe in the living Word. And I can't stress that too much. I'm not against instructing people. I'm not against preaching the verses to people. But I'm against telling sinners that believe in the historical fact about Christ as salvation. It's not so. Salvation you lay and hold on the living Word, which the written Word manifests. The written Word tells about. And we're preaching the gospel about a personal Savior. He's the person of the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. So he's the person of the gospel. He is the gospel. That is the gospel of salvation, true salvation. There's a false gospel, you know. Another gospel, Paul called it. Wasn't the kind he preached. It's another gospel. That's right. Not enough. But it's a perversion of the real gospel. They take the real gospel of Christ and pervert it. That means to change it. Just like perverts. You know, sodomites are perverts. That means they change that which is natural to unnatural. That's the same way perverted preachers do. They pervert the true gospel and take passages out and make it say what it's really not saying. Twist them to their own destruction. And we live in a lot in that they turn the grace of our God to lasciviousness. All that bunch of preaching that. You know what they do? They just preach salvation. They don't preach any supernatural change outwardly. They preach that you're saved and have eternal life now. And so it don't make no difference how you do outside. You know, that's really sad. If it didn't involve eternal things and eternity bound souls, it wouldn't be near as bad. But since it involves your soul, you better think it over. You better think this over. And us folks who claim to be saved, we better take a day off. We better take a day off, get somewhere in the room, or go to the woods somewhere and take our Bible and find out for sure. Eternity is a long time, you know. You could die about any time, or I could die about any time. Wouldn't take us very long to die. And once you're gone too long. You ain't coming back. Do you believe saving in Him? Has He ever been? And I'm saying this, now listen carefully. Salvation is a revelation to your heart of who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
Jesus plainly said to Peter in Matthew 16, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." When he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father is in heaven."
Yeah.
That tells me that God makes known to you through the preaching of the Word of God in His life who Jesus Christ is. He gives you some faith and you lay hold on Him when you find out who He is. He's made known to you as your only Lord and Savior. You know, and I want you to think about this, because so many people, I'm thinking about one woman right now, and she's a pretty good woman, I thought. But she saw others shout, and she couldn't shout. So she said then that I'm probably not saved because I can't shout. So she went to the altar and worked herself up and stayed there till she shouted audibly. She was more of a Christian before she shouted than she was after she shouted. See, she's a base in her salvation on an emotional experience. Salvation is not an emotional experience. It's a heart experience that produces emotions. All of our emotions are different. We're all made up different. Emotions is God given. You release your sorrow through your emotions. That's why people weep at funerals. They release their sorrow. At the same time, you release your joy through emotions. You might not make as much noise as me, but some way or another, you release that. And it's always right to make a joyful noise to the Lord. But some folks don't shout loud like other people do. So it's not an emotional experience, it's a heart experience. And it is experience. You hear a lot of people now say, salvation is not experience. Experience is something you pass through that you know about. That's what the word experience means. If you know about conviction means to be proven guilty. You know anything about that? Guilty before God, not guilty before the church, not guilty before the court, not guilty before the judge, guilty before God. You've offended God. You know anything about God approving you guilty? Then you come to God. You come to God as He drew you. You saw you as guilty. You offended God. And God made known through the preaching of the gospel that there's a way out.
Yeah.
The way out.
Amen.
There's freedom. Liberty. If you come the right way, you get set free from your sins. So you come. You come in your heart. It's a heart turn. Now, that's the reason all them different experiences is in the book of Acts, I think. See, the Ethiopian eunuch got saved sitting in the chariot. He had a desire. He wanted to know. Philip expounded to him Jesus Christ from Isaiah 53. He preached the word to him. Faith come to here and God made known to him. Right there. And then he said, got down some water, said, "Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" You know, a lot of people misquote that. Peter said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." That's not what, if thou believest with all thine heart. Did you know some of the Pentecostals took that out? With all that heart, that's all you are. You give everything over. You believe with everything you are. got some in reserve, you know, you hold back. Every ounce you're bearing must be broken, and you give over to Him and trust Him with all you are. Somebody said, is that pretty easy? Not always. It's not always easy. Not always easy. Hard to give up. Hard to give up. Our ex-sheriff up our way, they put him in, one of our sheriffs almost got killed. Of course, it's kind of a rough area. It was worse then than it is now up there. And so this tough guy that had been raised up tough and rough, the county commission appointed him for sheriff. And he was a deputy then. They appointed him as high sheriff. And the fellow used to fight with him. They used to go out to a place out in the country and fight on Friday night. And he said, now, you can't whip this guy. He said, get him down, beat on him. But he won't ever give up. And they found out that was true. You know what? If you don't give up, you won't ever get saved. He come to a funeral one time, and I saw him work with him about 15 minutes one time, trying to get him to smile and get his driver's license. He never would smile. He said, look hard. And I preached a fellow funeral one time and shot himself with a deer slug through the heart. And he was his buddy. And he was a pallbearer. I think it was a pallbearer. And he sat right there and looked at me, tried to stare me down. The Lord gave me grace to stare right back at him. And as I preached, I stared at him. And I told him what the Lord done. He never did make any move. He never did make any response in any way. But I said, if you go to heaven, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe in Jesus Christ savingly. Do you know what it means to die in your sins? It means to go to a place where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. It means to go to a place of outer darkness. Go to a place of denial. Your prayers won't be heard. Go to a place of despair. Go to a place where there's no Christians. No Bibles. No good. Everything's weeping and wailing, fire and brimstone. Eternity without God forever and forever and forever. And somebody's going there while you're sitting in here tonight. With a great opportunity to get saved among God's people. So if you miss this opportunity, that's bad news for you. God's done a whole lot to keep us out of hell, you know. You think for a minute, I'm through preaching. You think about what all God's done to keep you out of hell. He didn't have to do anything, you know. But He foresaw. His foreknowledge, He foresaw you was going there. In your sins. So He set it up, agreed to send His Son down here. Christ laid aside all the riches of heaven. Come down here, was made poor, born poverty stricken, where animals are born. Was in the world, words made by Him. But He had no place to lay His head. He lived this world, poverty stricken, for you. Then worse than that, went up the cross and suffered the wrath of God. Untold agony up there to keep you and me out of hell. If we could really see what the Lord's done for us, we'd all be shouting victory. What all the Lord's done to keep us out of hell. He didn't have to do that. He wouldn't be able to say, I don't know why the Lord could save a fellow like me and why He would. That's because He wanted to. He wanted to save us. It's a free gift of God. He loves you just because He wanted to. He was under no obligation to do anything for us. He didn't owe us anything but hell. Could have paid us any day. But His mercy withheld the judgment off of us. You know the only reason you're here tonight, alive, and able to come and hear the Word of God, hear the Son, the only reason is God's mercies held wrath off of you this far. I've thought about it since I've been saved. I thought about it, and you know, and I don't go and hardly ever mention that, but you know, been in bad places where I could have just been snapped out like that and drunk on the roads and stuff like that, and God's great hand of mercy kept me out of hell. Kept me out of hell. If you're not saved, not God's kept you out of hell up to this time. You have no guarantee He'll keep you out till tomorrow, but He's kept you out up to now. What y'all do is just run to Him. Run to Him. And if you're not saved, you're not convicted, you ought to ask Him to convict you. If you can believe about what the Bible said about hell, if you're not convicted, you'd come and ask Him to convict you. Ask Him to show you. Ask Him to break your heart. I think He would. I know you would if you knew what's coming on out the road. And I think there's people in here, if everybody just be Judgment Day honest. See, we're going to have to be honest when we face him.
Yeah,
right. Judgment Day honest. I think there's people in here that needs to get saved. I think so. I think if you just do what you know you ought to do. That's all I ask you to do. What you know you should do. That woman Brother Miller preached about, she didn't get what she wanted when she first come. She wouldn't leave. She got what she wanted because she wouldn't leave. You know what? If you be the kind that won't leave, you get what you need. If you're the kind that won't leave, just come and say, Lord, I'm staying. I'm staying. I come to you, I'm staying till I get delivered, till I get forgiven. May God help you to do so. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer.